Hello and welcome to another edition of Does the Team Think? And in this program, you'll hear a variety of answers to a variety of questions put by a variety of people. So let's meet the people who'll be doing most of the answering. Cyril Fletcher, Arthur Askey, Ted Ray, and the man who hatched up the idea, Professor Jimmy Edwards. And sitting on my right, we have Mrs. Margaret M. Gardner. Mrs. Gardner, welcome to the program, and let's have a question from you, shall we?
Would the members of the team consider entering a monastery? What skills would they contribute, and what name would each choose?
Would the members of the team consider entering a monastery? What skills would they contribute, and what name would each choose?
Well, judging by the question, I think the lady's in favour of us all going into a monastery.
Well, I think this is a very unfair question. Just because we've reached the age when we only chase girls if it's going downhill, that she should suggest that we should go into a monastery. I don't think it's at all fair.
I think the question rather would be, would a monastery consider letting the team enter? I can't see them letting me in, but if they did, the only one I would go in is one of those that makes booze. There's one of them that makes Benedictine, isn't it?
And you would say the benediction.
That'd be the one for me. But I don't think I'd like to be called brother anything, because it smacks too much of politics. I'd rather be called father something. Father the better, I think, probably.
I was going to say that a man came to my front door the other day and he said, "Have you been converted?" And I said, "I am a practicing Anglian." And he said, "Oh, I've only come from the gas board."
I had to show my skills in a monastery, I think I'd go in the laundry, then I'd find out if they had any dirty habits.
They don't wear habits, they wear cowlings or something.
Well, it's the same thing as a habit. Well,
I thought that was what the ladies wore.
Oh, well, they both wear habits.
Oh, do they? Oh, I'm sorry to hear it. Oh, well, there we are. Why do they have that sort of thing at the back? That's for collecting apples in or something, isn't it?
It's an ashtray.
That's the cowl. Oh,
yeah,
I said cowling.
Chimneys.
Gentlemen, we haven't yet had a name for Ted and Cyril. What name would you apply to yourselves?
Well, I wouldn't mind being called Brother Costello.
What?
Then I could team up and do a double with the abbot.
A merry but somewhat dated jest.
Are you going to...
There was a young fellow called Pete.
Get ready
liked to
laugh.
Dance in the snow and the sleet. One chilly November, he froze every member and retired to a monkish retreat.
I think Brother Cyril would do the readings and the poems. He would read from the good book and say all these wonderful things. And I think I would provide the music or do the cooking, at which I am an expert, cordon bleu cook. But I would make sure that I was wearing an asbestos apron, because when you're cooking those sausages, they don't half sizzle.
And I should join him in the kitchen. I'd do the chips. I'd be a chipmunk. Everyone a target.
Wouldn't you have been the friar?
Well, I think the others are funnier gag, don't you?
Oh, shut up.
I think it's a very funny idea, though, isn't it, our being monks? Imagine me saying grace. Lord bless this bunch as they crunch their lunch.
aren't there days in monasteries when you have to have a thing called a vow of silence? That's what I wouldn't like. You know, you have to sort of keep mum or something, don't you?
That's right. Yes. Or dad.
I'll tell you a gorgeous story I heard about the monks. There was this very young monk, he joined the monastery. And, you know, on a certain day of the year, and I'm not quite au fait with the absolute routine, but they have to give some offering to the altar. And they came along with all their needlework and their threads and everything they'd done, their jumpers, the things they'd made, their leather belts. And there was this young monk. He couldn't do anything. And he walked to the front of the altar and he suddenly saw the fruit. And he took three apples. And for the first time in his life, he started to juggle, and he took four apples, and five, and six apples, and through the stained glass windows came a shaft of light, and an ethereal voice said, "Don't call us, we'll call you."
Thank you very much, and thank you, Mrs. Gardner. Thank you very much, dear.
It's from St. Bernard.
Yeah, very good.
Team, Mr. Ede England has a question for you. Listen carefully. This is it.
What advantages does the team think would accrue if human beings had four arms, four legs, four eyes, two noses, and so on?
What advantages does the team think would accrue if human beings had four arms, four legs, four eyes, two noses, and so on?
And well, so I on. I love the so on, because if one fell off, you'd have to sew it on.
And I've got four eyes anyway.
That's right.
There was this man, Mr. England, who woke up one morning and his wife turned to say something to him and he'd got two heads. So he rang his psychiatrist the next morning. His wife insisted on it and said, I've got these two heads. And the psychiatrist said, well, you better come along and see me. And my friend said, well, I don't like to come out, actually, with the two heads. It's rather conspicuous. I've only got the one hat and it looks ridiculous. So the psychiatrist said, well, he said, come to Victoria Station. He said, there'll be a lot of people there and it won't be so noticeable. So my friend said, yes, I'll do that, but how will you know which is me? So the psychiatrist said, wear a red carnation in your buttonhole. And he did.
Well, if I wanted two of anything, I'd like two navels. Because when I'm sitting up in bed and eating fish and chips, I could have salt in one and vinegar in the other.
Vinegar. You could have made it pepper, Arthur. Don't be so messy.
I must say, I'd rather have two mouths.
Who says you haven't, Jim?
Well, I'd like that, Jim.
No, so I could drink a pint with one and tell you fellas to shut up with the other.
Well, if I had two mouths, I'd like the other one on the top of my head.
Why?
And then when I'm rushing for the train in the morning, I could get me breakfast, put it under my bowler hat, and eat me breakfast as I ran for the train.
I think it wouldn't be a bad idea, because I read a car specification the other day, and it said there's plenty of room for parcels on the back window shelf and ample room for the passengers' heads should they drop off.
I heard one of your broadcasts the other night, Cyril, and I dropped off. I don't really mean that.
If you had two spare eyes, which this question implies you'd have four eyes, where would you put the other two?
Put them?
Yeah.
In my pocket.
I'd put them in my ears, and then you could hear and see where people were going.
No, but I mean, if they were genuinely for spare, you wouldn't want to use them while the others were good, would you?
What was the name of the fellow who had one in the middle?
Cyclops.
It's a bicycle.
Well, I wouldn't mind one there and one in the back of my head.
Why?
Then, well, you, young lady, she said, do you mind turning your back while I change? Wear a monocle.
Well, when we were talking last week about riding on a tandem, you could keep an eye on the fellow behind you, couldn't you?
Well, you can't see if Jim's got two noses as it is. He might have two noses under that bush.
I think it'd be very useful because you could smell flowers and poke it into other people's business at the same time.
If you had four moustaches made out of James Edwards, you could stuff enough mattresses to sleep a kingdom.
Jim, where would you put the other moustache if you had another one?
Don't be rude. What a nice thought.
A bit of a what you fancy does you go.
I think if I had all these limbs, I'd go along to Regent's Park Zoo and ask to join the Octopus Club. It only costs half a squid.
But if you had... Very good. The great thing is, four ears, you could always sing, four ears, a jolly good fellow.
I'm just wondering, under the terms of this question, if... Listen to me, Ted Ray. Listen. Don't glory in your own corny jokes.
It's him. I did the joke.
He told the joke. Listen, I'm a ventriloquist.
If you...
Who's working you?
If you carried this question
the
to
government.
The end... If you carried this question to the end, and if you were an octopus, how many tentacles would you have?
That's rather suggestive. I'll tell you one thing. I heard of an octopus once, you know, and he went mad because they put him in a cage with a set of bagpipes.
Arthur Askey, if they gave you two of everything, how would you like to be twice your own height?
I wouldn't like that.
Why not?
My living would go.
Well, 4 feet.
Oh, he missed the bump when he went off the curb.
No, that's
sure.
Right. Every time I slip off the curb, I bang my bottom that's on right. The pavement. No. Don't forget I'm 5'3½".
Are you?
I'm a big fella. And I'm not wearing...
Only in certain areas.
Actually, actually, he's very big in Leicester.
He's very big in Worcester.
He's very...
What a sort.
He was... Well, that's the end of that question.
All right. Thank you, Mr. England. Thank you very much indeed for being patient and fine. Thank you very much. And now let's try a little bit of politeness and pass it in the direction of Mrs. Gladys North. Mrs. Gladys North, what's your question, please?
If the team were about to write a novel, would they dare to call the heroine Gladys?
If the team were about to write a novel, would they dare to call the heroine Gladys? Ted Ray.
Well, I'll tell you why I would, because when we were first married, my wife said to me, you must understand that we mustn't abuse the privilege of being married. I mean, we must only make love on Thursday. And I used to say, oh, I'm glad it's Thursday.
Well, I think Gladys is really a lovely name. I think the most beautiful woman I ever saw in my life was Gladys Cooper.
Right.
She was a beautiful woman, wasn't she? So what does her name matter?
I thought you were going to say
Gladys. I was in concert party once with a soprano who had a lovely voice, but she used to scoop up to the notes, you know. Wanna long to be my lord. And we used to call her Gladys Scooper.
You know, Arthur, I do agree that you're perfectly right about Gladys Cooper. I am old enough to remember...
You're old enough to remember everything.
That by the gags.
I know some charming people in our... But what about Mrs. Mills? Her name is Gladys.
Yes.
Everybody knows her as Glad. She's a lovely person.
But she calls herself Mrs. Mills. She doesn't call herself Gladys Mills. Perhaps she's ashamed of it too.
No, I don't think so. I think everyone knows she's called Glad. I followed her in last year at Scarborough. She'd been in the show before me. When
what
I went
you
in...
You followed her in your...
I occupied her dressing room.
Oh, you must have felt lonely.
No, she'd gone then. And I was going through the drawers, putting my bits away, and I found a pair of her... You know,
You were going through her drawers?
No. And anyway, I didn't send them back to her. I covered a settee in two easy chairs.
I'm inclined to sympathise with you, Mrs. North. I even call my dog Samantha. But it's... with these very modern novels, you see, doesn't matter at all what the heroine is called, so long as she has the bare necessities.
I'll tell you something. Mrs. Gladys North, has it ever been an embarrassment to you that your name was Gladys?
I've never been embarrassed by it, but I think in a book or a novel, it doesn't sound romantic enough.
Well,
it just depends which kind of Gladys you're looking at, because years ago, there was a lady called Gladys Smith, and she changed her name to Mary Pickford. Did you know that?
Why? Jimmy, what is your favourite name for a girl if it's not Gladys?
Whoa!
That's a funny name.
Can you imagine him in the morning saying, where's my breakfast? Well...
I think Fiona's quite a nice name, but it's got to have two Fs.
Why?
Well, I've always preferred two of everything.
The loveliest name I ever heard for a lady was Royce. Her name was Royce. But unfortunately, she married a fellow called Puddin.
Thank you very much, Demon. Thank you, Mrs. North. Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to meet our special guest, an actress with a special place in the world of British comedy. That unique figure from so many stage and TV successes, ladies and gentlemen, Peggy Mount.
Hello, Peggy.
Welcome to the programme, Peggy. Have a seat. Now, here's somebody who'll put you in your place, I hope. I'm referring to the team, Peggy, not to you. Peggy Mount, may we have your question, please?
How does the team feel about these new buildings going up, and do they think we've got enough now?
How does the team feel about these new buildings going up, and do they think we've got enough now?
Well, I wouldn't mind about the new buildings going up. It's the old buildings coming down. Yes. Now, this place...
Same thing.
Thank you. I mean, this place we're broadcasting from now has been threatened. Well, it's either the building or the team.
And what do they go... is that true, Arthur?
It is true,
they
yeah.
To pull this theatre down?
Yes.
It's a lovely old...
Over my dead body. Go on.
No, but this is what's described as an ancient pile. Probably needs
Oh, it's very painful.
Oh, God.
This question was posed by Peggy because her name is Mount. Did that come to you to think of the mountains of the concrete jungles that are ruining the whole of London
yes.
and taking away all our character?
Peggy, Ted said, since your name is Mount, is this what gave you the idea for the question?
No, what gave me the idea for the question is that I'm working in the Criterion Theatre and they're trying to pull it down.
That's
and they're
true,
trying
yeah.
to do terrible things to our lovely Piccadilly Circus. And it's all rather sad. And they want to put great big office buildings in Piccadilly Circus.
Well, the whole of, your question, I must say this, Peggy, you won't have to worry about them pulling down the Criterion, because as long as you're there, you'll pull the house down every night.
Oh, yeah, well done. There you go. Well, they're going to ruin it. I think that the statue in the middle of Piccadilly Circus, which is Eros, is surrounded by some of the riffraff of the country these days.
Well, you will go.
And I... Pardon?
I've been standing in the circus here since 1893. Do you wonder that my outlook's somewhat narrow? I just gaze down Lower Regent Street as bored as I can be, shooting nothing with this ruddy bow and arrow. Buildings, Peggy, are mostly of glass, aren't they? Tremendous amount of window space with these new windows.
There are some windows of glass. Go on.
Yes, well...
Oh, God. You can do it. Go on. I challenge you.
People who live in glass houses should change in the dark.
I tell you what, Jimmy lives in a high block, don't you, Jim?
Yeah.
He lives on the top floor of a very, very high block.
Yeah.
And his great trouble is how to get rid of the bottles.
Yes! There are a lot... let's face it, now, let's be honest, you know, that the greatest builders are Irishmen. They're so strong, and they were sending up this place in Park Lane, and the fella came along and he said to the foreman, could you give me a job? And he said, yes, I can give you a job. You're one of the... You're from the old country. He said, That's right. I'm talking. He says, can you make cement? He says, no, well, I'm a handyman. He says, you're a handyman. He said, that's right. He says, can you cut planks of wood and make them fit? He says, no, I'm just a handyman. He says, can you nail planks together and make floors? He says, no, I'm a handyman. He says, what do you mean you're a handyman? He says, well, I live just round the corner.
Do you suppose that if they demolished Jimmy Edwards, they'd put up a supermarket in its place?
If they demolished Jimmy Edwards, I will fight to the death.
Me too.
Well, as long as they put up a new one with a theatre inside.
Well, I'll tell you what, naturally, one of the historical high spots in this country is my birthplace in Liverpool. And it is now surrounded by souvenir shops. ASCII comms, ASCII glasses, ASCII leg stretchers. And it's...
Garden gnomes.
It has been pulled down.
No, that's funny, Arthur.
It has been pulled...
Say it again, Arthur.
It has been... It has been pulled down and is now a rubbish tip. And that... And that is where Ted gets all his gags from.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Peggy Mount. Thank you, Peggy, very much indeed.
Thank you, Peggy.
And now let's turn our attention to Mr. Edward Penny. Mr. Penny, your question, please.
The team and chairman are on a sinking ship with only one life belt between them. Which one do I think should be saved?
Me. The team and chairman are on a sinking ship with only one life belt between them. Which one do they think should be saved?
Whoever wants to spend a penny.
Well, Jim actually is too big to be saved by any one life belt.
I resent that.
So I'm afraid we'll have to let him go. And I'm the next youngest, so quite obviously I'm the one to be saved because the other two have lived longer. And in any case, as they were drowning, they would be amused at all the jokes that they're watching as they drown, you see, the whole of their lives passing before their astonished gaze as they snuffed it.
I rather resent that.
You know, this programme should be called Does the Team Sink?
But, I mean, in any case, I'd be the captain, so I'd probably have to go down with the sinking ship. That's one of the things, isn't it? He looks like a naval man, this fellow Penny. Are you a naval chap?
No, I'm afraid.
Oh, you've got a beard,
don't you? I've seen him on the Woolwich Ferry.
No, I've seen him. I've seen him on a packet of cigarettes, I think. Is more like it.
Blimey, you're going back. You know, a funny thing about this, though, it reminds me of a story.
Oh, yes.
About this comedian who was on the ship. And he got a bit drunk one night, you know. It wasn't Jim. No, it wasn't Jim. And he fell overboard. And somebody shouted, "Man overboard!" They said, "Throw him a boy." And they couldn't find a boy, so they threw a couple of women. And thank you, darling. I haven't been on yet either. She's on my wavelength. And, you know, they put the searchlight on the water, and this poor comedian died taking bows.
I mean, I had an experience like that when Cyril said my whole past life flashed in front of me,
and I
enjoyed every pint of it.
Well, if we were all hanging on, I think we ought to, whoever has the life buoy, it should be taken in alphabetical order.
But this life belt, I mean, the one thing we wouldn't be able to do, the one thing we shouldn't do is to start arguing about it, because then we'd never get anywhere.
One of the few sports that I take part in is swimming. I'm a very strong swimmer, and as a matter of fact, last summer, I nearly swam the Channel. I set off from Dover, and I swam and I swam, and I got exactly halfway across, and I had bad luck. I had to come back and spend a penny.
I thought you were going to say your son remembered you hadn't got your passport on you.
The reason why Arthur is such a strong swimmer is because his mother was a streetwalker in Venice.
Funnily enough, I would probably survive the longest without a life belt because I float rather well. I just turn on my back and put my arms out and just float, and then the tide would carry me into wherever we were going.
Does anyone throw your fish thinking you're the walrus?
Well, of course, you needn't have a life belt. You could always wear water wings, you know. They're much handier. I remember when I was at Margate years ago doing a summer season, and there was a little boy crying on the water's edge. And I said, "What's the matter with you, son?" He said, "I want to wear me water wings under me costume, like Auntie."
Now, you will remember, for new readers, start here. I'm on this ship, you see, right? And it was rather crowded. In fact, it was absolutely packed, you see. It was called the SS Sardinia. And I was I was in this cabin, and in walked a little Italian fellow, and I was rather suspicious, you know. And to my amazement, he unfastened his case and put on a woman's nightdress, curlers in his hair, and a little mob cap. And I said, "You'll pardon my asking this before I try to go to sleep. I'm a bit worried by now. But what is all this?" And he says, "Well, it's in case of accidents, of women and children first."
Thank you very much, Demon. Thank you, Mr. Penny. Thank you. And now, team, you're going to hear a question from Miss Anne Streatfield. Miss Streatfield, welcome to the programme. You've been very patient, and here at last comes your question.
What new inventions or discoveries would the team like to make for the future?
What new inventions or discoveries would the team like to make for the future?
I went into a famous sports shop, which I won't mention on the air today, and there were four famous men standing behind this four famous counter. And I walked up, and it's a well-known sports shop, and I thought I'd have a joke. And I said, "I'm tired of losing my golf balls. Have you got such a thing as an atomic golf ball?" And one of these fellows said, "You'll find one at the Geiger counter."
I think they've worked very hard for many years trying to eliminate fog, for example. I'd like to be thought to have been the inventor of a fog remover.
Well, have a shave.
Well, I'd like to invent a new deodorant for men.
Oh,
yeah. Deodorant. A perfume.
Yeah. Yes.
And then we could all wear it and call this "Does the Team Stink?"
But they now have a perfume, a new deodorant. It's called Discovery. Everyone smells, but you can't see who it is.
Well, it's like the fellow who went into the shop. And he went up to the shop walker and he said, can you tell me where the perfumery department is? And the fellow said, well, since you came in, it seems farther off than ever.
I think decimals are a terrible invention, don't you? This new decimal currency. Yes, if God had wanted us to go decimal, he would have had 10 disciples.
I don't get the point.
I'd like to discover, if we're talking of discoveries, I'd like to discover what makes me so attractive to women.
Team, on that happy note, I'm going to turn my attention to our guest here.
I don't blame you.
I'm sure you don't. Miss Streatfield, what sort of inventions do you think would be a good idea?
Well, I always like the idea of windscreen wipers for glasses.
Windscreen wipers for glasses?
Yes.
You can have them, I believe, with a little sort of windmill on top, and they work once at the bottom.
That's right, you can.
You can.
Well, I use them in pantomime once as a joke.
Did it get a laugh?
No, well, yes, it did. Well, anything I do gets a laugh. But I did. I had them specially made, and they ran on a battery. They were quite funny, except in a place the size of the Palladium, at the back of the Ninepennies, they can't see it.
They thought it was a
wart. It's a good idea.
I've tried it, actually, but it wears your eyebrows out.
Thank you, team, very much. Thank you, and there I'm afraid we must close Does the Team Think for today. On behalf of Jimmy Edwards, Ted Ray, Arthur Askey, Cyril Fletcher, and our producer, Edward Taylor, our thanks to all our questioners and, of course, our special guest, Peggy Mudd. And we hope you'll all join us again next time we're on the air. Till then, this is McDonald Hobley saying goodbye to you all. Goodbye.